As we turn to look at Psalm 63, let us pray. Father God, as we come to look at this psalm, I just pray that you'll give us open ears, open hearts and open minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us through your word this morning. Amen. Confident expectation. How often do you have that? When I first took my A-levels, I knew it hadn't gone terribly well. I was pretty certain I'd failed all three. Being an August baby, I was only 17, so I also like to think I was too young to take my A-levels. I remember going to collect my results and the tutor saying, what grades did I need to go to university? And when I told him, he just looked at me and went, nowhere near. I'd got two but failed the third, so I decided to stay an extra year at sixth form and retake two of them, one to improve the mark and one to hopefully pass. A year later, I still wasn't confident. On results day, the post was late. These were the days where you had to cycle or get over to college to collect your results in person. So we rang up the college and the results had arrived in the afternoon. It felt like waiting forever. And when I finally got the results, I had passed. I'd done enough to go to university. And I promptly burst into tears. And that was just such a relief that I had finally achieved it. There wasn't an ounce of confident expectation. There wasn't an ounce of any expectation that even though I had worked really hard for 3 years, that I wouldn't have done enough to pass. Were you like that, waiting for your school or exam results? Or even now, waiting for the outcome of maybe a job interview? Think about the last 18 months, the real challenge of waiting to see what would happen. There's been little confident expectation of when we make plans, you know, would lockdown be lifted? Would we be able to meet physically face-to-face with friends and family? Would we be able to go on holiday? Would we ever be able to sing in church again? Everyday life tends to see us more having a worrying expectation. But what this psalm shows us is what it means to have confident expectation in God, particularly in times of trouble. To know that he is always with us, that he will never let us down, and that that knowledge should drive our behaviour when we're facing difficult times. It might be helpful for you to have the psalm in front of you as we look through it together, and it's on page 579 in the Church Bibles, if you've got one of those. And what we're going to look at is we'll see David's response to when he's in difficulty, both when he's in the desert and also at night. And we're going to think about what that means for us when we find ourselves in trouble. Now, I don't know about you, but when someone asks you about a favourite verse or psalm, you probably have a few that come to mind. I certainly do. But generally for me, it's on a fairly superficial level. I just love a particular verse or a psalm, the feeling that a psalm gives, and I don't tend to consider it much more deeply than that. So if you were to have asked me why Psalm 63 is one of my favourite psalms before I prepared this talk, I just said that I love how it simply prompts me, particularly when times are hard, that I only need to reflect on those times when things were going well to be reminded that God is always with me. It'd be a very short sermon. We're done. But that's why I love these sorts of sermon series. It's a joy to spend time in a passage I already love as I end up learning so much more about it and loving it even more. And over the past few weeks, as we've been talking about the Psalms, people have asked me which Psalm I was speaking on. And when I said Psalm 63, it's not one that people immediately recognise. So imagine my surprise when I started reading in preparation for today that I discovered that it is considered one of the most well-loved psalms. In the early days of the church, it was decreed that this psalm was to be read every morning. And one commentator even said that the spirit and soul of the whole book of Psalms is contracted into this psalm. So I'm not on my own in thinking it's a great psalm. So let's dive into it. If you start reading at verse 1 and ignore the heading, which does contain a spoiler alert, I wonder where you imagine David was when he sang this song. It starts, You, God, are my God. I earnestly seek you. Now, we know in the Old Testament, people could only meet God in the temple. So it would be a good guess to imagine that that's where David is, with the musicians singing praises to God. But that's not the case. If you look at the heading, it says, when he was in the desert of Judah. So it tells us that David was in the desert when he sang this psalm. And as we read through the psalm, we see that he's also in trouble. We're not exactly sure what the trouble is, but most commentators suggest that he was fleeing from his son Absalom, who was out to kill him. But basically, David is in trouble, and whatever that trouble is, it's serious enough that he has gone into the desert and is in hiding. And it gets worse, as he's run out of water. And when you're in the desert, that is deadly peril. It's not looking good. But what we see is that David turns to God, but maybe not in the way we would first expect. I don't know about you, but when you read the first verse of this psalm, it feels like a cry of lament that we see in so many psalms that are full of what looks like moans and groans. But as we read on, we see that this psalm is completely different. And that's one of the things I love about it. It takes you by surprise. David's first thought isn't for God to rescue him from the desert, but he sings of confident expectation that God is with him in that place. And ultimately, all will be well. That's something we might find difficult to do ourselves, as our immediate reaction in hard times is to plead to God to get us out of trouble and make everything okay again. But that way can lead to a worse outcome. There are people who sadly have walked away from the Lord because in hard times, God hasn't done what they want or expected him to. They call to God for help. And when God offers him his love, rather than the thing that they want or they think they need, they feel betrayed and let down. In other words, whilst God's love matters to them, it's not enough. They want everything to be fine in the way they expect. They don't have that confident expectation that God is with them in that hard place. And so they walk away from him, feeling rejected and let down. But this psalm helps us to think differently when we see David's reaction to when he's in trouble. In the midst of his difficulties, we hear David's true passion in life rise to the surface. What he wants most is God. And it's a really heartfelt plea. Just listen to that first verse again. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Now, our translation uses the word earnestly, but the literal translation is at dawn or in the morning. So David is making his really personal plea to seek God right at the start of the day. And it's not half-heartedly. Look at the language David uses. My whole being longs for you in a dry, parched land with no water. He paints a really vivid picture of drawing on his surroundings. He's in trouble, in hiding in the desert, and there is literally no water. But think about it. That's also how some people describe how they're feeling when they're going through a hard time, like being in the desert. And these verses also reminded me of Jesus and the story of him meeting the woman at the well. You can read about it in John chapter 4. But verses 13 to 14 say, Jesus answers, everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Without Jesus, our lives are dry and parched. But that living water, Jesus, gives us eternal life. And this mirrors David's plea. He has no water to quench his physical thirst, but he knows that what he needs is God's love. Only God can completely satisfy him. In his time of trouble, David reflects that God's love is better than life. David is saying at that moment in the desert, if you offered him the choice of either water or God's love, he'd choose God's love. If we look at verse 5, we see David acknowledging that God's love is as satisfying as the richest of foods, and that makes him want to sing praises to God. In verse 2, David is remembering where he has met God in his past. He says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. In his hard place, David is remembering worshipping God in the temple. It must have been so hard for him, in hiding, maybe feeling cut off from God because he's not in the temple. And yet what we see is that confident expectation that David knows he is not alone. That in those times, back in the temple, will one day return. David is not asking God to rescue him right now. And if we look to the end of the psalm, we see David acknowledging that ultimately his enemies will be destroyed and he will meet God in the sanctuary of the temple once more. It's such an encouraging image, particularly if we're facing hard times and feel far from God. When times are hard, it can feel like we are in a dry, parched land and that God is not with us. Everywhere you look is just arid and empty. You can't see a green oasis that will slake your thirst. And you can't see where this desert will end. What is your reaction when you feel that? Do you shout to God to get you out of the difficulty, imagining that you're in it alone, forgetting that God is always with us? Or do you shout with confident expectation that God will supply you with what you need to get through it? It's a challenge, isn't it? Of course we want a hardship to end. We want to be rescued. And of course it's right to pray to God to help us. But sometimes the answer we want isn't necessarily the answer God will give us. And that's where this psalm can be so helpful. It shows us through David's example that when we're in difficult times, it can be so valuable to remember God with us in that place. And that helps us to still trust and praise God even when life is difficult and we can't see an end to the hardship. That's another reason why I love this psalm. It so simply reminds us that when times are hard, we only have to remember those good times in our past when it was easy to see God with us, to know that he is with us still. I love how David recalls seeing God in the sanctuary, how in verse 6 he thinks about God through the darkness of the night when he can't sleep. He knows God is his help now because he was in the past. There is so much for us to learn here. For those of us who are Christians, hard times are intended to give us a deeper appreciation of God's beauty and his glory of the Lord. As we run to him, as we seek cover under his wings and cling to him, he becomes more and more precious to us. And that deeper appreciation of him stirs an overflowing joy that makes us want to sing his praises, even in the midst of difficulties. I love the idea of the shadow of the wing in verse 7. It reminds me of a swan sheltering her cygnets under her wing, ensuring they're protected from danger. And so it is with us and God. In those dark times, he protects and upholds us. For those of you who are mathematicians, it's a bit like an equation. Hard times plus looking back on God's goodness equals a deeper longing for the Lord. Reread verses 3-5. They contain such wonderfully joy-filled words of praise and glory that lead to a deep longing for God. Because your love is better than life, in verse 3, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, in verse 4. I will be satisfied as the richest of foods, and singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Words we can learn from when faced with our own challenges. And when we remember God's goodness in those good times, it makes us trust him more when we face difficulties. Knowing that he is faithful and will never leave us, we are protected by the shadow of his wing. In verses 6-8, we get an image of David not being able to sleep. He talks about how through the watches of the night he thinks about God. David knows that God is his help and he will uphold him, and David clings to that knowledge and it causes him to sing praises to God. Just think about those nights when you can't sleep. I must admit, sometimes a worship song pops into my head, and generally I lay there getting a bit annoyed because that particular song has become an earworm and I can't drift off back to sleep again. As I've prepared this, it's got me thinking, next time that happens, I'll try and remember this psalm and turn it into a song of praise for God. And maybe if you're having trouble sleeping, try spending some time remembering God's goodness and giving him thanks for that, and see if that helps you nod back off. But like the image of the desert, the image of the darkness of the night can also symbolise hard or difficult times for people. What is your response when either you can't sleep or you're in a dark place? Is it like David to know God is with you and therefore praise him? Reading these few verses in particular reminded me of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus can't sleep, so he goes into the garden to pray. And Luke chapter 22, verses 42 to 44 say, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. In his darkest hour, Jesus' plea is to God to take the cup from him, but only if it is God's will. Jesus knows he will be obedient to his Father, even if that means him going to the cross to die for our sins. But at that moment of difficulty, like David, Jesus turns to God in prayer, knowing he is there with him. Like David, he seeks God earnestly. I'd never seen that connection before, that similarity between David's actions and Jesus's. When times are hard, like being in a desert or in the darkness, they both seek God earnestly, with confident expectation that God will give them what they need to get through the challenge ahead. Not that he will rescue them from that particular difficulty, but he will sustain them through it. Isn't that a great encouragement to us? When we're faced with a hardship, when it feels like we're in the middle of a desert, thirsty for God, or in a dark place, unable to sleep, we should remember that Jesus and David both did. They sought God earnestly, knowing he was there with them in the hardest of places, knowing that God would give them what they needed to get through. Just as the angel strengthened Jesus in Gethsemane before he went to the cross to die for us, we know God will give us what we need to strengthen us when we face hardship. So as we're coming to the end, in summary, I hope you've grasped that I love the thread of confident expectation that runs through this psalm. It's a real encouragement and challenge to us. I love the surprise that the lament of the first verse isn't followed by a plea for God to rescue David from his hiding place, but the recognition that God is there with him. I find it really helpful that whilst he's in trouble, hiding for his life, David remembers the times previously when he met God, and that encourages him to seek God earnestly. I love the perseverance David shows in that he continues to praise God throughout the hard times, knowing that what has gone before means he knows God is with him at that time, and that God's love is better than life is so wonderful to read. Finally, there's that implicit expectation that he will be able to return to the sanctuary and meet God again when the enemy is defeated. But in the meantime, David will cling to God, know he is upheld by him, and he will continue to sing God's praise and glory. So, when times are hard, or you're feeling like you're in a desert, or you can't sleep at night, can I encourage you to reread this psalm and reflect on David's response to being in that hard place? It's easy to pray to God to ask him to make things better, And I'm not saying we should never do that. But we know God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way we would expect. What this psalm reminds us is that we're not alone, that God is faithful and true and will overcome in the end. Our earnest prayers in those dark times should come with confident expectation that God is with us through those hardships. He will give us what we need to strengthen and sustain us, and will be with us always, in the hard times and in the better times ahead, just as he was with us in times past. And that leads us to a deeper longing for the Lord and a desire to sing his praise and glory at all times. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this psalm. Help us to turn to you with a deeper longing to know you, particularly when times are hard, and to continue to sing your praise and glory as we look ahead to better times. We pray for those who feel they are in darkness or in a desert right now. May they feel your presence and know you are with them in that hard place. May your love be enough to sustain them in those times, and that they come closer to you for your protection and strength. We give thanks that you are always the same, and we can see that throughout the Bible, from David in the Old Testament to Jesus in the New. And that gives us confident expectation that we can always trust you and know you are with us yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen.